Hello and welcome to the Multimedia Men podcast. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We have a special episode right now that I've been wanting to do for so long. We're going to get right into it. I'm Brian Kluger, of course, with Boomstick Comics. Of course, again, we are our Multimedia Men podcast on iTunes. You can find us under that. There's lots of shows, but we have a returning guest today. It's been a while. His name is Adrian Charlin. He's all the way up in Canada. What's going on?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for the intro, man. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked for this. We've been talking about doing this for a while now. I think probably since last summer.
or longer. So how I know Adrian, him and I met at this amazing film festival in Austin, Texas called Fantastic Fest. And we've actually roomed together and stayed together and we fell in love. We've seen movies. We've done it all, right?
Oh, totally. All the forbidden stuff that we can't say on this podcast.
Well, we're going to leave that up to the viewer's imagination, but just know there's some dark territory there.
That's right.
But Adrian's a huge film buff. He loves pro wrestling. And the last time you might have heard him on the Multimedia Men podcast was an episode, I think, about pro wrestling. Do you still keep up with that?
I've been moving away from it a little bit. Like, I still have the network. I still watch pay-per-views, but I've been finding like Raw and SmackDown to be pretty weak these days. So I haven't been watching every week, unfortunately.
Well, if you know our friend on the podcast, Tom Nix, he would tell Adrian at this point that indie wrestling is where it's at.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you would really like it. But in addition to wrestling, Adrian's a huge movie buff. Like, he knows tons about movies, and he works for the Green Screen of Death and Next Projection. Can you talk about those outlets that you work for?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Nextprojection.com is where I got my start with online film criticism. It's a really cool group of people. It's people from kind of all over the world, but they're primarily based out of Toronto. There's male and female writers, and to be affiliated with them is a great honor for me. They're a really supportive group. They're a fun group to work with. And the Green Screen of Death, that's the podcast/website that I started with my good buddy Bill Harris a few years ago. And we record a biweekly podcast, and we go to film festivals. We basically see every movie that's released every year. So yeah, we've always got something to say about movies.
Yeah, Adrian knows what he's talking about. And over the past year or more, Adrian and I love to bicker at each other about the movies we love or that we hate, because it tends to be more often than not that we're on opposite sides of the spectrum.
Oh, that's right. And what I think is so awesome is that when we disagree on something, we can be cool about it. Like, some people are a little more, a little more aggressive when they disagree with something, but you and me, it's like, it's all love, man. Like,
it is. And that's what makes the world go around. I love the different opinions that we all have, because you will see a movie one way, I'll see a movie another way, and we can talk about it. And we love to give each other shit about it because we love each other. But it's like something, because we usually talk on Twitter, and Adrian's Twitter handle is Adrian_Charlie, and go follow him. But when I said something recently about a movie, he tweeted to me, "I will end you," and then in parentheses, "with hugs and kisses."
That's how I roll, man. That's my form of aggression. It's like, I'll squeeze you with a loving hug.
And you know, in these crazy political times now, it's good to have disagreements, but keep it all in fun. You know, we love talking about movies, and what one somebody will like, one may not enjoy as much, and that's what we're here to discuss, because there's so many big movies Adrian and I have both seen that we love talking about because we are so different opinions on them.
Oh, totally.
And I'm so excited. So let's talk about the one you just recently rewatched again. You texted me about it, La La Land.
So, oh, man.
So you saw it a while ago and then you just rewatched it. Tell us what you thought.
Yeah, okay. So I've got a little bit of a history with La La Land. Like, I watched it when it was released theatrically here, and that was, you know, it had all the, you know, awards buzz, and people are freaking out about it. This may have been the one time I let hype alter my kind of expectations going into the film. So when I first watched it, I watched it and I was kind of not really into it. Like, I wasn't a big fan of the music. I could appreciate the way it was shot. I just found it to be very centered on Sebastian, which really bothered me. I thought, some more focus on the female character would have been pretty cool. So I took my stance. I died on that hill of, I was like, screw you, La La Land. Like, get out of my life. And, I bought the, iTunes version, when it came out, because I was like, oh, I'm going to give it another shot. People are going to want to watch it with me. And, so I had my brothers over last night and they love the film. Like, they're all about it. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll watch it again. And this time around, I really got it. Like, I could feel the love that was put into it, and I could feel the romance between the two characters, and just the way they expose themselves to not only to themselves, but to the world, and getting disappointed or finding successes here and there. And it's something that I really vibed with on the second time. And I was like, oh my God, I think I love this movie now.
So you are in the opinion of that you love this movie. You just said it right there. You love this movie now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm still shook over this, because for months I was going on about how much I hated it.
Well then. Well, see, that's what's good. Let sometimes, you know, I've noticed a couple of outlets prior, you know, in years prior, they will revisit a movie that lasted over time and they'll have different opinions about it. Mm-hmm. And do you think that you, when you saw this with your brothers, do you think being with family or just seeing it again and really capturing it again really sold you on it?
I think that played a big part of it, because the first time I watched it by myself, and I do go to movies by myself quite a bit, just because, you know, my schedule doesn't always line up with friends or my wife. But to be surrounded by two people who love the film, and we watched some of the interviews on, like, the extra features, and talking about the process and how many years they put into the pre-production of the film. And they talked about how Ryan Gosling, he learned all of those songs, and that's actually him playing in the movie. And I was like, I don't know if I like Ryan Gosling more or just hate him now, because that's just unfair, dude.
the dude's hot. The dude's sexy. He's an actor. He can fight like in Drive, and now he's a musician. What can he do?
That's unfair. Him and Hugh Jackman, they need to chill for a while.
They need to chill. Let some of us normal people get some of the action here and there.
Oh, exactly.
Well, I have to say, I've seen the movie multiple times. I saw it in the theater. I saw it on Blu-ray and 4K and all that other stuff. So I've reviewed every aspect of it. And I think this might be the movie where we are most in agreement. Like, I do like the movie, but it's not worthy of any awards. It shouldn't have been nominated for anything. Minus maybe cinematography, but it shouldn't have won any of it. It might have been nominated, but I don't. It's one of those movies that I might watch if nobody's seen it and they love musicals, but never again. I didn't think it was that great of a movie, but I still enjoy it for what it is.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and yeah, like I don't like to rate movies, but if I had to rate La La Land, I'd give it like 4 out of 5. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I agree with you. Like, I'm not a big fan of the whole awards scene anyway, but I could name like 20 better performances, male or female, from last year. So,
right.
But, and about 30 better movies.
Yeah, and to disagree with your, you saw it again and you loved it more. I think the first time I saw the movie, I really liked it, and each time I saw it again after that, I liked it less.
Oh, so, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I don't know, but yeah, that's with La La Land. I mean, I still, if you're a big fan of like the golden era of Hollywood or you know musicals, the music actually is good in it because I love jazz music and it celebrates a lot of jazz. I really would have hated this movie if it weren't for the last 15 minutes of the movie with like that gut punch, if you will.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I've got a lot of respect for that. I thought that was really cool.
That was really good. But moving on, let's move on to ones that we love and that we hate, and because we love to talk about it and we still joke about these things, but let's move on.
Oh yeah.
Let's move on to a little horror film with a shark from, I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, but it was a movie called The Shallows with Blake Lively. And so I hated this movie. If you don't remember this movie, it was about a chick stranded on a rock, like seriously, like 3 feet from the sand. She could have jumped over the water onto the sand, but she was stranded there for days and there's a killer shark trying to kill her. Oh God, this movie. I really hated this movie so much. And then when I heard that everybody loved it, included Adrian, loved it, I don't understand why. So I want Adrian to explain why this movie's so amazing now. He loves it.
I love this movie. And I going into it, I'm like, I'm not the biggest Blake Lively fan. Like, I think she's a really bad actress, and she's getting by because she photographs well. But there's something about The Shallows that just feels so sincere from her and the director.
I don't know if I would describe Shallows as sincere, but I'm glad you did.
Yeah, you know, there's like lots of booty shots and... But she seems to be having a lot of fun, and she's very convincing, and that she's scared. And I grew up. Here's another thing I haven't told you that maybe you haven't thought of. I grew up on the west coast of Canada. I'm surrounded by the ocean, right? Pacific Ocean. So movies like this, I've got a bit of a soft spot for it because it takes place at the ocean and the beach, and I love sharks, and this combines a lot of things that I like: a beach, the ocean, Blake Lively's booty, and a really cool performance from a seagull. So,
the seagull was named Steven in the movie.
Yeah, Steven Seagull. That's awesome. Like, how can you not love that?
I mean, I laughed at that for sure, but oh man. Oh, I remember going into the movie and like, sweet, it's going to be a shark movie. You know, I like Deep Blue Sea. Of course, we all love Jaws.
Oh yeah.
There's a bunch of shark movies out there. So seeing this, I was like, okay, this might be something like so dumb, but fun. And I didn't have any fun in this movie. And I like to have fun in movies. It's somebody who loves like Samurai Cop and Birdemic.
That's right. Oh man. So, yeah, see, I thought that it was fun though. Like, she's trying to outsmart a shark and she's doing all these different things, and it's I thought having a female twist of, you know, man versus nature, I thought that was awesome.
I mean, I get that aspect of it. I think I was in the first few opening shots, I was really put off by it because it seems like they were driving to a remote location. It was beautiful. Like, the cinematography could have been amazing, but they completely blocked out all of the picture with like text. She was sending texts in the movie. Blake Lively was sending texts in the movie, and the text screen would pop up on the big screen that you couldn't see the rest of anything. So I was just like, what? Why are we doing this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a bit of a weird choice.
And then for the next...
I think maybe that's... Maybe I'm giving too much credit to them, but that's just this generation now, right? Like, they could be surrounded by the most beautiful thing, but they want to read a text from their friend or see what they had for lunch and look at food pics and selfies and Snapchats with people who have dog ears. It's like, that's what's important to them, not what they're experiencing in the moment.
Yeah, I didn't even look at it that way. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
But maybe I'm giving them too much credit. I don't know.
You never know. You never know. I wonder if that even crossed their mind.
Probably not.
But then you get it for like maybe the next 20, 30 minutes. It's like slow motion shots of Blake Lively surfing and swimming. And there's a lot of butt shots and hair flapping in the wind and with all the water. And it's like, it's almost like a Pantene Pro V commercial or for
it really is.
And then she gets stranded on a rock because some shark is just obsessed with killing people.
Yeah, I'd love to see a prequel to see where he, what's his beef with humans, man.
Yeah, I would like to know that too. And it's, you know what, you see a lot of these movies and like the shark might be, you might, this person might be stranded like far out in the sea, but Blake is stranded like really only a few yards from me, from the beach, and just nobody is out there. Nobody, she's not getting a signal. When she was getting a signal before, it was just, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched it for 4K, because I had to review it for 4K, and I still didn't like it, because I really want to, because after talking to you and some other of our colleagues that liked it, I don't understand. How do people like The Shallows?
Oh, man.
Because you said it's fun. It's fun to watch the woman versus nature, I'm sorry. And, you know, you had fun with it. Just seriously, a chick trying to outsmart a shark, which she fails at until the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I beyond that, like, I don't know how else to explain it. I think a big part of it, too, is that I went into this movie like I did not want to see The Shallows because I tend to skip most Blake Lively movies. but I went and saw this on the weekend based on like some of the reactions I read. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot. And I had so much fun. And like the climax of the movie, I was just like almost standing out of my seat and like cheering. I was like, that's how into it I was. Like, I'm gonna get the Shallows tattooed on my neck or something.
do you think there should be a sequel, or there will be a sequel?
If they make one, I'll go see it. I know that much.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. I love it. All right. All right. Let's move on from The Shallows and let's talk about one that just came out in the theater, one that just was released that actually made just a little bit more at the box office this week than Guardians of the Galaxy by less than a million. Let's talk about Alien Covenant, because I think we all like alien movies, or at least most of us who are in the cinematic universe and who write for films. We all love at least the first two. I love the first three for sure. But it seems like Adrian and I and a bunch of our colleagues, even the ones that we room with at Fantastic Fest, are very, very adamantly split on this movie. There just seems to be no gray area. You either really liked it or you like really hated it.
Oh, big time. Yeah. This one is like costing me friendships pretty much.
And why do you think that is? So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, because I guess, you know, I know a lot of friends. I'll mention one of my friends is Hillary Thomas. She's worked for Boomstick before. She's written, she's done podcasts, and she is a cosplayer. She's a professional cosplayer, amongst other things. And her favorite movie of all time is either King Kong or Aliens. And she dresses up like Ripley. She does the whole thing. Nice. She was real excited for this. And I talked to her, and I know she really liked the movie. However, I know there's a lot of people like Hillary, our friend Hillary, that love the Alien franchise and how they so hated this new Covenant movie. And Adrian, are you one of these people that hated it?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like it's a hate from old times, this one. It's there's just something about One thing I'll give this movie, a couple things. It looks beautiful. Like, it's beautifully shot. Like, Ridley Scott knows how to make a movie, like, super watchable. And there's some stuff that happens about two-thirds of the way through the movie where you learn about creation and limits on creation, stuff like that. I thought that stuff was really interesting. It just took way too long to get there. And by the time that was happening, I was like so far removed from the film that I couldn't really get fully invested with what probably would have been a really cool finale if I wasn't so distracted by the stupid characters in the first two-thirds of the movie. That was the big thing that really turned me off. It was just this crew that's been trusted with, what was it, like 2,000 colonists or something like that?
The Covenant is actually a ship that is going out to colonize a planet that they deem suitable for people to live on. And in addition to actual colonists that are frozen, they have tons of embryos that are frozen too to help speed along the process, basically.
So and all of these people, they're all either married to each other or they have relations with each other, which, you know, I'm no expert, but, you know, conflict of interest like that, right away they're already muddying the waters of making sound decisions because, hey, my husband's there, or my wife is there, or, you know, stuff like that. And I get that in the movie that they made them couples probably because they want them to, you know, procreate when they get to the planet. But the thing is, like, as we see in the movie, that all that really does is just make them make bad decisions because they're all emotional and stuff. And it just felt like a convenient kind of dumb element to add to the plot. And stuff like that really bugged me.
Yeah. Well, one of my writers on Boomstick Comics, he saw it and he said, like, a crew gets a distress signal from a planet. The crew lands on this abandoned planet. The planet has aliens. The aliens infect or attack the humans. And then a survivor or two must fight the alien to get off the planet. You rinse and repeat. How many times have we seen this in an alien movie? And I tend to agree with that. But I think that's what makes an alien movie good. Like, I enjoyed that aspect of it. Do I think that there were some moments in the movie where that were over the top? Yes, but to say that this movie is terrible or you hate it, I don't get it, because I think there's just so many good moments to this film, and I think it's like a good start to future films, which Ridley has already said he's doing. And I will agree, like, there's moments in the film that don't make sense. Like, okay, why is everybody married or having relations? It's weird. And also when they're coming to spoiler alert, but when they're coming to the planet, how did their advanced technology not pick up, like, the bones or, like, the graveyard, basically, that they run into when they meet David again? You know, mm-hmm. Because that seemed like that was like in walking distance, basically, to them.
No, totally.
How did they miss it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are elements to it where we're like, were there deleted scenes? How did this happen? Or were we just really trying to focus on the, like, two story plots at hand here? And I think some of it got away from them. But do you think that people, or including yourself, that why they didn't like it so much, because you were wanting something very reminiscent of Alien or Aliens, and you didn't get it here?
Yeah, I've heard that argument on Twitter quite a bit this weekend, and I don't agree with that. Like, the thing I always say when I'm watching a movie, and if I don't like it, I always compare it. I find a really good parallel thing to mention is, if I go to a restaurant and my food is burnt, like, I'll notice it, and it doesn't taste very good, so I'll complain. I'll send it back. I'll say, hey, my pasta's burnt. Can you get me another one or whatever? So in this one, it's not the case where, like, I don't think we'll ever see another alien or aliens. Like, there are so many things to those movies that made them such a unique experience. And, I love those movies to bits. Like, I watched them multiple times, probably every single year. Now, when I went into this, I wasn't, like, didn't have, like, a checklist of things I want to see. I just hope to have a good experience. But yeah, just these.
And then it didn't, you didn't have a good experience.
No, I did not. Like, the thing is, like, Billy Crudup, he's a great actor. He plays a guy who, he was second in command, right? When the mission started.
Yeah. Because I think James Franco, who's in the movie literally for maybe 5 seconds, is the commander, but he goes his way. And then I think Crudup is like the second command who becomes in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what really got me with that character is he had no spine at all. And I'm like, how did he get there? Like, as he's questioning himself and he's running to his wife, he's like, do you think they like me? And it's like, dude, it doesn't matter. Like, you're in charge now, take charge. And I was like, he's not a good leader. And how did he get that far in his career? And as I'm distracted by thinking about these things, the movie's progressing and I'm having a hard time focusing because this guy's all worried about how they feel about him. But it's like, dude, you were put in that position to take over in case anything happens. Throughout his whole time in the movie, he's second guessing himself. And it just, that was so unnecessary to me. I was just like, come on, man, like, grab your balls from your wife's purse and let's go. Let's get this mission on.
I do agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I thought most of the characters were lackluster. I mean, I love Billy Crudup, but I tend to gear towards Danny McBride just because it's Danny McBride and he seemed the most realistic to me.
Yeah, that's true.
But you didn't get a lot of time with him, so you don't know where he's really coming from or, you know, any backstory really. You just, you know, you like the guy. Mm-hmm. And the one that, in the people you really associate with are not humans at all. They're droids. You have Walter and David, who are played by a twinsy double of Michael Fassbender, who we love. But, you know, in this movie, Catherine Waterson, she plays Daniels, who's literally the carbon copy of Ripley from the first film. Haircut, build, everything. But just like her role in Fantastic Beasts, she's terrible here. I don't think she's a good actress at all.
Yeah.
Like, just bland, wet noodle, bleh. And so you don't like her. You're just like, ugh, she's just kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. So I think those aspects, but every time David and Walter are on scene or Michael Fassbender is on scene, it's really good. And I do think that every time we got to see some form of an alien, it was terrifying to me. Like every time they did a good job with it. Would you agree with that?
Not really. Like I was distracted by, I thought the CGI was pretty bad for the aliens. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, that's terrible. Like, why can't you put some dude in a suit and have him run around? Like, I don't want to be that guy to be like, oh, practical effects is king and like practical effects are nothing. But I think some kind of blend of practical effects and CGI, I would have preferred that. I couldn't get down with the aliens.
I liked it. I don't know. I enjoyed, and I even enjoyed that really corny scene in the shower.
Oh, really?
I did. I was like, man, this brings me back to like the 80s or early 90s, you know, like a nostalgic feel, like, oh God, where's the saxophone music? And then, you know, but it is that famous, you know, like shower sex scene between two couples, the steam's coming up and then you just kind of like see something hideous come up and you're like, here it comes.
Oh yeah. It's, here comes Jason with his machete or something like
Seriously,
that, right?
No, absolutely. Would you think that it kind of played out kind of like a slasher film at some point?
Oh, it did. Definitely. I think, and I think that was deliberate. And again, I was like, even when that was happening, I was like stuck in my own world going like, oh, I didn't know they were a couple or are they married? Like, and I couldn't enjoy that scene like I would in like, you know, Friday the 13th, where there's none of that explanation. Just Jason shows up and, you know, he gets a 2-for-1 shot kind of thing or something. Yes. You know?
See, that's why, you know, I still love Alien Covenant. However, I think for some reason in Alien 1 and Alien 2, you get a lot of character development in those first 20, 30 minutes where they're really kind of just like a crew, you know, doing normal crew things. You get to see their personality traits, have fun, you know, yell at each other, and then shit happens. But in Alien Covenant, I feel like everything happens right off the bat. And you get like a few lines of dialogue with who people are, and then you're expected to like love them, which doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, but for the sake of our this special podcast where we're disagreeing and agree or disagreeing mostly, I think this was handled well in a sense that it could be. Like, do I think that 15, 20 minutes could have been shaved off? Yes. Do I think that we could have handled the story better? Yes. However, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie, you know, I don't think we'll ever see these people again, you know, minus maybe Michael Fassbender. So why stick with them so much? But I guess that's true with pretty much all the Alien films. You don't see anybody minus Ripley or the droids. So, but you felt for them more. I don't know.
Oh yeah, totally. And I think that with Prometheus and with Covenant is it couldn't hurt to make at least one character a character to root for. And I guess with Covenant, I was kind of down with David and Walter. And I found them really interesting. I like that whole Fassbender actor showcase thing. But like with Aliens, you've got these characters that are really well fleshed out and, you know, their names and you know a little bit about them. So, you know, when Hudson dies in Aliens, you're kind of like, oh man, like I didn't want him to die. And I didn't have any of those moments during Covenant. I was just like, oh, that nameless person just died. Okay.
Yeah, so, no, I felt that, but I still enjoyed that because I was like, oh yeah, they died. Fine. We're getting somewhere here. We're finding more about, you know, this universe that we didn't know before. So that's how I felt. But yeah, we disagree. We agree, but we still love each other. We still love our old Alien movies. And I think that I know I definitely going to see the next Alien movie, and I'm pretty sure Adrian is too, because just curious wise.
Oh yeah, I'm a completionist that way. I'm pot committed.
Me too. Like, I mean, that goes for everything, like trauma movies and everything. I have to see them all.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So let's move on, because I'm enjoying this show so much. This is our first show we've done about this. I want to do multiple shows.
Oh yeah, man.
There's so many more movies we're gonna talk about. So we're gonna do our last movie right now for this first episode because we want to save more for other shows.
Cool.
But this next one came out this year. I was curious about it, but I think it's one of the worst movies ever made. I feel like Adrian will disagree with me, but this movie is called Beauty and the Beast.
This is the
live-action 2017 version with Emma Watson and Kevin Kline and Dan Stevens. I think it's one of the worst movies ever made. It's so terrible. I hated everything. Actually, I think on my comment card to the media, to the reps for the studios said, some of the visual effects were okay, but the rest was dog shit. And that's what I wrote down literally.
That's awesome. I love it.
So I hated this movie, and you could read our reviews, you know, on where Adrian or where I write, or follow us on Twitter. But, I think from what I've talked to Adrian really liked Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I really enjoy this movie, man. And I didn't expect to. Like, I've not been a fan of the Disney live action adaptations. Like, maybe another one that's a potential is The Jungle Book. I thought that was a bad movie.
See, I loved that movie. See, that's for another episode. Oh, no, I'm so excited.
Yeah. And, you know, like Maleficent, I thought was really bad.
Or Snow White and the Huntsman. Yeah, I get
it. Snow White, yeah. So, I went into this one going, okay, they've got a really bad track record for me. And but as soon as Emma Watson started singing, I was like, oh my gosh, I can feel my heart growing. And
I have no heart. My heart shrank during this.
That's right. I was just smitten by Emma Watson and Dan Stevens and Luke Evans. He's just the star of the show as Gaston. Like,
that is the one thing we agree on. He was good as Gaston.
Yeah. He was just so all about himself and like admiring himself in the mirror. And I was like, yeah, I like that kind of stuff.
I hated this movie so much. And I mean, even like 20 minutes through the movie, like 20 minutes into the movie, I was sitting next to a colleague and the colleague leans over to me and I really thought he was going to say, oh man, this movie's great. But he literally said to me, oh, this movie's total shit. And I was like, I wanted to stand up and just like do the Daniel Bryan, yes, chant.
Nice.
I've never wanted to give somebody a hug so much in my life. But I was like, yes. Like this live action Beauty and the Beast, which did not need this remake, even the remake that I did like Jungle Book, do not need to be remade. Just re-release the original cartoon. I don't understand because in Beauty and the Beast, it's the same camera shots as the original. It's the same dialogue. It's the same music. Mm-hmm. But it felt like one of those horrible, trashy, network live prime time plays they've been doing. That's what it felt like to me.
Oh man. Oh, no way, dude.
I hated every bit of it.
Oh man. And I'll tell you something that I probably posted on Twitter at some point, but we all know the story of Beauty and the Beast. We know how it plays out. We know the ending. So you know, that bit at the end where it looks like things are grim and all of the objects they cease to be the people they are, like Lumiere and Cogsworth and Mrs. Potts and all that. When they started to just turn into the object that they were, I was like, I had like tears in my eyes. I was like all choked up and I was so invested in those characters. And I think it was based on the performances, like Ewan McGregor and Ian McKellen. And I love Emma Thompson. Like, I thought she brought a lot of class to that role. And, I was just like an emotional mess. And then, you know, we get the Disney ending and then I'm happy again. And it was just this weird thing that I went through. And I was kind of, as I was leaving the theater, I was like, man, I didn't expect to love that much. And I actually went and saw it a second time. I enjoyed it that much.
And did you like it a second time?
Oh, I did. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry you liked it.
Oh, man. No way, dude. Yeah.
I had, like, the opposite experience. Like, I mean, like, the extra scene when Belle is finding out her mother died of the Black Plague, I literally laughed out loud at that. Like, I was dying laughing because I thought it was so funny and so stupid.
It's
hey, ma'am, you got the Black Plague. I just died. I was like, what is this fucking movie doing?
Yeah, that was like, yeah, that did play like a bad Zoolander scene or something. I got the black lung.
Yeah, it was so funny. And then, like, I had no emotion for anybody. I thought Emma was terrible. Yeah. I thought, Dan Stevens, you don't know it's Dan Stevens, just like a horrible CG fest on him. And it didn't look that good either. I thought his, because he didn't really sing. I don't know. I hated it. And I just thought, I mean, Belle's just annoying to me. It's like, to me, it's just, I just don't like that character. I was like, oh, okay, she's just terrible. And it, I, and I like Emma. I like her. I love her in Perks of Being a Wallflower. I loved her in all the Harry Potters. I did not like her in this at all. And, but I love Luke Evans as Gaston. He was amazing. And I thought Josh Gad as, what's his name?
LeFou.
His gimmick, was good for like the first few lines that he did. And then it got just, he did the same thing over and over and it got tiresome to me.
Okay.
Although I liked the funny kind of almost, Seth Rogen type of, delivery almost, I thought.
Yeah.
Which worked, you know, in the first couple minutes. But after that, I was like, all right, so here's this, the comic relief. That's all it is. I was done. And then just every, I was like, okay, the same shot of, you know, be our guest. Why? Well, what's the point? And I just thought the, because I love the animated film so much.
Yeah.
Just terrible on every level. I talked to people who love it, and I don't understand why. And now I'm finding out that you like it, because I mean, I guess it made you emotional. It did not me. I mean, I wish, because I love being emotional in movies. Like I've cried in almost everything, like Terminator 2 and King Kong and Beast Southern Wild and pretty much every Pixar movie. Just everything, really. But this one I did not. I had no emotion with it whatsoever. And I really thought it played off like those cheap network primetime live shows like they did with Rocky Horror or Wizard of Oz. I hated it. And then now they're redoing it with Lion King. And I'm just so not wanting that to happen right now.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, I'm still not going to eagerly sign up for the next Disney live adaptation. But I'm happy that I enjoyed this one, and and they're also doing The Little Mermaid, right?
Yes, as live action,
which will be kind of weird too.
Yeah, I don't get it. Why? Just re-release your vault. People will love it.
And I'm
curious, you know, as something, you know, we couldn't talk about this like on The Shallows or any of the other things, but with Beauty and the Beast, because there are many versions of this, you have, you know, your Ron Perlman TV series, you have the old like 30s version on Criterion, and you have the classic 1990s cartoon. With this new one, is there any chance that you're going to go watch that one rather than the cartoon? Like, is there a chance? Yeah.
Oh, like if it'll be like my go-to.
Yeah, like you're going to have them on your Blu-ray shelf right next to each other, and you're going to be like, all right, I want to watch Beauty and the Beast. Okay, which one do I watch? Like, what is the percentage?
Well, I think when I do get it on Blu-ray, and I will get it on Blu-ray day one, better believe it.
Better believe it, yo!
When it does come out, I'll probably revisit this one before, you know, like the 90s animated one, only because I've seen the animated one so many times. And I get that, the irony in making that statement, because this is essentially the same film. But I enjoyed the execution and the performances. So, I'll probably reach for this one first. But where it ranks among the others, I think time will tell that one. I'm still not too sure about that. I haven't thought about that till now. So,
yeah, I'm curious on how that's going to happen, because you know it's kind of like the Evil Dead thing. Like, do you go and watch this revamped Evil Dead from a few years ago from Fede Alvarez, or do you go back to the original? I mean, of course, I'm always going to go to the original. You know, in that case, but you know, if something like, you know, it's kind of like the same thing as Psycho, you know, with the Vince Vaughn version and the original Hitchcock version, you know, those were kind of like done shot for shot. So it was weird to see, same dialogue, why people hated the new one more than the original one. I don't know. So it'll be, we will have to revisit this when it comes out on Blu-ray and see if you have the same thoughts.
Oh, totally. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, thanks for being on the Multimedia Men podcast. We're going to do this again. We're going to try to do this weekly because this is so much fun because there's many movies. This is the part of the podcast, you know, like Adrian and I are like heated rivals in the pro wrestling ring, and we just had a steel cage, no holds bar match. We're bloodied, but this is the part in the match where it's over. We look at each other. We're standing face to face. We reach out and shake each other's hands, give each other a hug, and raise each other's hands like, yes, we did it.
That's right. And the fans, they're chanting, this is awesome. Dun, 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 dun.
So, yes, we will be back, hopefully next week if our schedules permit, but we will be back because we have tons of movies to talk about. We just found out one on this show, which will be Jungle Book. We have a lot of the Fast and the Furious movies to go through because –
oh, yeah.
We love and hate those. And there's way more. But, yeah, we're going to be back. I think there's going to be a new edition. We'll have to come up with a name for this show for next time. Because I like this. And I think Adrian and I doing this, we might be able to bring in some of our friends to, you know, give us maybe some insight or agree or disagree with us.
Oh, for sure. So, yeah, I love it, man.
I love it, too. So tell everybody where they can find you online.
Okay, so yeah, you can find me online on Twitter. It's the easiest way to reach me. I'm at Adrian_Charlie. You can also find my stuff on thegreenscreenofdeath.com. I have a biweekly podcast there, so you can check us out there. You can also find some of my writing on nextprojection.com. And, oh yeah, The Green Screen of Death, we also have a Facebook page. Just run a search, The Green Screen of Death, and we post there once in a while. Not a huge presence there, but yeah, we're there. So,
well, very cool. Yeah, check Adrian out. Follow Adrian. He knows what he's talking about, even when it comes to The Shallows and Beauty and the Beast.
Yes, and that's what I always say, man. Like, if you have an opinion, as long as you can state why you feel the way you feel, I think we're all in the same plane level. Like, I don't, sometimes I'll joke and say my opinion's correct and I'll say that I'm right, you're wrong. I don't truly believe that though. Like, if you have an opinion and you say why you, you can state why you feel that way, more power to you. I like hearing other opinions as well. So
yeah, it's all good. We have a good time. It's what makes the world go round.
Yeah.
So, but thanks for doing this again, Multimedia Men podcast. Look us up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Go to Boomstick Comics. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. And we'll see you next time.